Hi everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 393. Remember, any feedback or questions, please send to Rabbi Ismach at take10fortorah.org. That's the number 4.
What I wanted to discuss today is somebody who doesn't get a lot of press, and that is Leah, our Aim Leah. So Leah, of course, we know her story. She's not really supposed to be married to Yaakov. Yaakov intends to be marrying Rachel, but as we know, that's not the way Lavan planned it, and Lavan puts Leah in front of Rachel to marry Yaakov. We meet the daughters of Lavan, and it seems according to Rashi they had no mother, and that's why Rachel first goes and runs to her father to tell her about this man that she meets at the well. And then we're introduced to these two daughters in a very descriptive way. It says, Lavan shtevanos, shem hagadola Leah, v'shem haktana Rachel. Lavan had two daughters. One, the older one, her name was Leah. The younger one, her name was Rachel. V'eni Leah rakos, v'rachel haisa yifas toar v'yifas mare. The eyes of Leah were rakos, that means soft or perhaps delicate. But Rachel haisa yifas toar v'yifas mare, she was of beautiful form and a beautiful appearance. That seems objectively good. Leah's a little bit more complicated. Leah's eyes were tender, described in some possible way, which is not very clear. Unkelus Rashbam say, oh, beautiful. She had beautiful eyes. It's a wonderful thing. But as we know, the tenderness, the Rashi tells us, it's because she cried a lot. Why did she cry? So the Gemara raises this issue, and it says, what does the word rakos mean? So the Gemara says, it can't just be an insult of Leah. The Torah doesn't do that kind of thing. The Torah doesn't even like saying behema temea, an impure animal. It says behema asher einenu tahora. So if the Torah is not interested in insulting, so to speak, animals, it's definitely not interested in insulting Leah. So why would it refer this way? So first opinion, Rabbi Elazar says, no, rakos means shemat noseha aruchos. She had great gifts, and they related to her eyes and long-distance vision. She would have Yehuda, she would have Reuven, she would have many of the tribes, the important tribes, Levi, who were involved in spirituality and leadership. She would have the Bechora. She would have wonderful things in her life. And that's what it means, rakos. Not, obviously, the simple meaning. Rav says that no, it refers to the fact that as little girls, they knew they had first cousins. They knew that this family married within each other. And their first cousins, right, their father, Lavan, had a sister, Rivka, who had two sons, Esav and Yaakov, in that order, and it was Leah and Rachel in that order, so she knew that she was destined, probably, to marry, symmetrically, those two cousins. And so the Gemara actually says that she would go and wait at the Parshas Drachim, she would sit at the crossroads, because they didn't live in the same neighborhood, and ask them, so, Gadol Mamasav, what was the older one like? Because I'm going to get the older one. And people would respond, Ish Rahu, he's a bad guy. Malasnam Habrius, he robs people, right? He was not a good guy. He was described terribly. She would cry, Ad Shenashru Risei Eineha, until her eyelashes fell out. And so the description of her having Eineha Rakos is not a pejorative, it's not negative, but rather it's describing her righteousness in that she would not tolerate ending up with that man, and she cried herself eyelashless so that she would hopefully be davening to avoid that. Indeed, that's obviously what ends up happening, and we see something about the power of tefillah, the power of these tears, and what she is able to accomplish. The Medrash tells us in describing Leah in Bereishis Rabbah Parasha Ayin Perek Tesvav, Amar Rav Huna Kasha Hi HaTefillah. Tefillah is incredibly strong because tefillah shabatlas hagzera, it could undo a decree, you know, the decree that she was supposed to have married Esav, v'lo od ela shekadma la'achosa. And if you think about it, it's not just that she married the right guy and didn't marry the wrong one, she also married first. So the tefillah was incredibly effective. The other Gemaras and Midrashim go on to say this tefillah is why she merited the Bechora, having the older children, the first children, and also why she merited to have the children first. It emanated from that tefillah. The Midrashim go on to tell us some of the story, because we know things were not so rosy for Leah afterwards. She felt like she was the senua, even though the psukim don't say precisely that Yaakov hated her. That doesn't seem clear, and most don't think that that's what happened. But psukim describe Vayavo gam el Rachel. Finally, when he married Rachel, Vayav gam es Rachel mileah, he loved Rachel more than Leah. Vayavod imo od sheva shanim acheros, he worked another 7 years. Vayar Hashem ki senua Leah, Hashem saw that she was hated. It doesn't say that Yaakov hated her, but Hashem saw that she was the hated one. Vayiftach es rachamav v'rachel akara, and God opened her womb while Rachel was barren. So this senua Leah is a whole discussion about did Yaakov actually hate her, or was it just in comparison she felt hated as compared to her sister? So that's something which she carries pretty much all of her life. The Medrash tells us, just one aside, the Medrash tells us that in anticipation of this wedding, Lavan told everybody that he's going to go and he's going to scam Yaakov. He wanted Yaakov to stick around for another 7 years. Yaakov made the waters rise. Yaakov was very righteous. Everybody wanted Yaakov around. And so he said to the townspeople, hey, join me in this scam. We're going to put Leah in front of Rachel and he's going to marry Leah tonight. But nobody tell him. Nobody divulge the secret. I want a pledge from all of you to guarantee. And so people brought pledges. He said, I want you to bring wine and I want you to bring meat. And instead of holding on to the pledges, which he would return upon successfully not divulging the secret, he uses them for the wedding. The Medrash says he was an Arami. He was a Ramai. He swindled not only Yaakov, but he swindled everybody around him. The story, though, at the wedding is that when the people get there, they're talking to Yaakov and they're praising Yaakov, and he says, why are you praising me so much? And he says, well, you're the reason that the waters rise and we're so happy with you, etc. And they feel sort of a pang of guilt. And so the Medrash describes how at the wedding they say, Hilea, Hilea, or Hilea, Hilea, which means simply, she's so appropriate, she's so wonderful, Mazel Tov. But there's this Hilea where they're sort of, in the same expression, there's a double entendre there, where she is, they're trying to get the point across that it's Leah. There are those who say that Sephardic women, and the halalalala, I can't really do that they do at a simcha, that's this Hilea, which translated into that. Take it or leave it, I'm not sure if it's true. But that Medrash ends with the following amazing story. The next morning, Yaakov wakes up, and it's Leah, and it's not Rachel. And he says, I don't understand. All night you were answering as Rachel. How could you do that to me? And so Leah says an amazing thing. Leah says, she says, Amra Leah, is Safar de Lesle Talmidim? Is there a teacher without pupils? Lo kachay sat sabach lo avucha, Esav the at anile? Didn't your father say, are you Esav? And she said, and he said, yeah, I'm Esav. And so she brings this all back to Yaakov very directly. Remember that you needed something to get done. It was right for you to end up with the brachos. And you had to do what you had to do to get the brachos from Yitzchak. And she sort of remembers that behavior and says to him, I just did the same thing. I am you. So we see a little bit of cunning in Leah, where Leah really doesn't do anything to Yaakov that he hadn't already done to Esav. It's a fascinating medrash. The story, of course, goes on. She has her children. She names every single one of her children after her frustration that her husband is not spending enough time with her or taking as much interest in her as he is with Rachel. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, you'll see it in the Torah, we don't have time for it, in Perek Chavtes, all of them are described as being named for that frustration, except, of course, for the fourth son. That's Yehuda. We discussed him on Thanksgiving. Yehuda is the son which she names Thank You, because she realized at this point, I have a fourth son. I have more children than anybody else, than any of the other wives. And because that's the case, I realize I've gotten extra. I have more than my share. And so in that moment, she's grateful. She's grateful and expresses it in the name of the child, which when you look at the other names of all the other children, even though her tefillos were answered, and even though she married the right person, the person who she wanted to marry, she was always frustrated with the fact that there was something lacking in their relationship where her sister had more of him than she did. That's expressed in every name of every other child. I wanted to end with one more story of Leah from the Midrashim, and that's the story of her seventh child. She has Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, and after that, she becomes pregnant again, and she realizes the math, and she realizes that if I have a seventh child, that means that that leaves only five, two for each of the maidservants, and then only one for Rachel, which in that case, Rachel would have fewer children than the maidservants. And so the Midrashim talk about how she prays for the gender of Dina to be switched to a male, and indeed, that's exactly what happens. And what's even more important is that sympathy that she has for her sister. She calls her Dina. You judged. You judged in some way. You judged the situation up, and you made the right decision. God says, because you were merciful on your sister, in spite of your suffering, I will be merciful on her as well. And the story ends with her indeed becoming pregnant and conceiving immediately after Leah has that tefillah and Leah gives birth to Dina. One leads to the other. And so what we learn from Leah, power of tefillah to change destiny, we learn how to thank God. And we also learned that in spite of a person's personal frustrations, to be able to have sympathy and empathy for the plight of others, and that's the best way not only for you to get what you want, hopefully, but for them to get what they need as well. Have a great day.